J7. Number 1B.
All right, so we just go on. And Mrs. Eddy then says in Miscellaneous Writings on 61, therefore, under this discussion of education, she says that the education of the future will be instruction in spiritual science against the material symbolic counterfeit sciences. Then we have a quote by a Charles Steinmetz, spelled Steinmetz. He was well known in the 30s as an American electrical engineer. And quoted, he was quoted in Church Federation in June 1930. And then John Dorley quotes Steinmetz, says, quote, in his book, God and Science, on page 24. Where Steinmetz, a famous American engineer, said in the 30s, I think the great discovery will be made along spiritual lines. Here is a force which history clearly teaches has been the greatest power in the development of men in history. And yet, we have merely been playing with it and have never seriously studied it as we have the physical forces. Someday people will learn that material things do not bring happiness and are of little use in making men and women creative and powerful. He says, then the scientists of the world will turn their laboratories over to the study of God and prayer and the spiritual forces, which as yet have hardly been scratched. When this day comes, the world will see more advancement in one generation than it has seen in the last four. It's terrific. Seeing that once we touch the education and global education on spiritual forces and not spending all our time on atomic forces, the world, he says, will see more advancement in one generation than it has seen in the last four. And Mrs. Eddy says the same. When we get that focal point of spirit, then we will see the growth from a linear development to the exponential growth. Things will happen so fast. And we say, my goodness, here we have these thousands of years from Jesus, literally, and how many thousands of years since the beginning of the Bible? Giving its history at about 4,000 BC, we get the beginning there of the biblical history. 6,000 years ago, the education of spiritual things has started on the globe. Sir, we've been here longer as man, but it was 6,000 years ago that the spiritual education began. 6,000. And we think, that's long. Is it going to take another 6,000 for those young ones being born into this world? Do they have to go through that long time period? No. Because what one can see, once the world switches its whole accent on education from matter, and it's coming, as we'll see this afternoon, into the mental, psychological realm, but finally, when the education of the globe is in spiritual things, you go from the linear, because the linear isn't of the nature of God. Really, the nature of God is simultaneously, instantaneously, immediate education. Those laws of life, truth, and love are coming spontaneously, instantaneously, immediate out of divine origin. And therefore, with the education, through structural means, because principle operates cybernetically, which is always holistically, dimensionally, structurally, teleologically. The whole way that God operates and educates the world is in structure. And structure is learned, as we see in the world, by doing more with less. The education is structure efficient. We become educated very quickly in a structured or spiritually structured method. So what has taken us maybe 30, 40 years to learn the subject, those coming in will come in at the 11th hour. And we're happy about it. It's as Mrs. Eddy says, in the textbook, future generations will declare what the pioneer has discovered. The pioneer always starts on the East Coast with the covered wagon and takes all those many months and the hostilities of nature that's encountered to get all the way over to the West Coast. And we know how we fly from coast to coast, faster and faster all the time. Well, the pioneers didn't lament it. They had the joy of discovery. Yes, we have the joy of immediate recognition as the years go on and the quickness of understanding spiritual things. But that, so we needn't worry about how what looks like a process for us can be quickly grasped. Now, we see also then, it says in miscellaneous writings, Mrs. Eddy asks, if Christian Science is the same as Jesus taught, why is it not more simple? Everybody says it's so complicated, it's so intellectual. It's not complicated, and it's not intellectual. It's yes, it requires at the beginning the time for thinkers has come. It certainly isn't something that's taken on emotion or rituals or blind belief. It does require at one point thinking. So she says, why is it not more simple so that all can readily understand it? And she answers it by saying, the teachings of Jesus were simple. And yet he found it difficult to make the rulers understand because of their great lack of spirituality. Christian Science is simple and readily understood by the children. Only thought educated away from it finds it abstract or difficult to perceive. See, she's putting the blame on education. Only thought educated away from Christian Science. Christian Science in its initial stage is simple. The teachings of spiritual reality as Jesus taught it, of which Mrs. Eddy shows the science behind his teachings, is very, very easy. But what makes it difficult, she says, is that thought has been educated away from the simplicity. Little children could get it right away. But we've been educated through material concepts away from it so far from our life. The minute we're born is, watch out for this, Jeff, you're going to get a cold. Don't go here because you may fall over the cliff. Don't do this because you're going to do that. We're educated immediately into fear, and fear causes all disease and inharmony. So we haven't much of a chance. And the belief today is we come with a genetic code, which already the minute we're born, we're filled up with all this information concerning material things. She goes on and say, its seeming abstraction is the mystery of godliness. And godliness is simple to the godly. But to the unspiritual, the ungodly, it is dark and difficult. The carnal mind cannot discern spiritual things. Then she says in miscellany, she says, we understand best that which begins in ourselves and by education brightens into birth. So where's the responsibility, you see? We begin best that which begins in ourselves. We begin with ourselves. That's where the accent is. We're not going to see as we go along, start blaming everybody and everything out there. The problem right away, she says, is with us and our education. What we're going to do about our own education and spiritual things. She says, all education is work, but to me it's happy work. Because one is changing one's perception and view of reality, as we will see. And she talks about the educational system of Christian Science. Right, so we go on, and as I said, we'll be taking throughout the day different examples, always from St. John, and just building up what it is that St. John is trying to get across in a big, big way. First of all, if we take St. John's revelation and we see that St. John wrote through inspiration revelation at around 95 AD, as Max showed us this summer, and there for the Gospel of John has been said to have been written around the turn of the century, about 100 A.D., and his epistles are just the accompanying letters to the Gospel of St. John, also written around 100 A.D. Revelation came first in John's writings, and we say, what is it that St. John was trying to show the world through Revelation? We have Mrs. Eddy's interpretation, of course, in the apocalypse of Revelation and her role in Revelation. And, of course, John Dorley's work on Revelation and Max Kapler's work. What we'll see then is that in Revelation, John saw a new heaven and a new earth while here, right where we are now. He saw a new heaven and a new earth. We want to say, what in the world is he saying to us? He's saying, I had a vision, and I saw another way of looking at reality than the way we look at it here. I saw that we can perceive reality from another way and see the world quite differently. That if we look at the world through material concepts, we see a material universe. But if we look at the world through spiritual inspiration based on spiritual understanding along spiritual values, we would see yet another universe. It's all a question of perception. And his Gospel of St. John, which we have the writings of John Dorley and of course now the summer schools by Max Kapler, seem to have the accentuation on the divine reasoning behind the need to change our perception of reality that John saw. So the Gospel takes us from the revelation of John, which says, I saw something different. And now the Gospel of John says, and I'll show you the divine reasoning which will help you see it differently. I'll give you the educational tools to see that universe. It takes you a step farther. And he says, and I'll show you that divine reasoning along the Logos, along the divine infinite calculus of spirit, along the lines, as Mrs. Eddy interpreted that, as the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, along the fourfold operation of being, according to the laws of life, truth, and love, and divine principle love. His big point of John is that this divine reasoning is a self-reasoning of the laws of life, truth, and love, which are laws of love. And his whole gospel is about this all, this divine reasoning is going on with the realm, and within the realm of love itself. Terrific subject. And then his three epistles, which Max Kapler has given us in his book on John, on the three epistles of John, seem to have the accentuation on demonstration. The outcome of accepting the spiritual reasoning and education that St. John shows us. What happens within our demonstration if we accept evolution by the divine infinite calculus? Evolution according to this education of divine reasoning along the calculus of being. The outcome, of course, is love. The wonderful thing of John is to love one another. But that is a love based on understanding, spiritual, and it's not an emotional love. It's a love which is really loving. And sometimes we see Mrs. Eddy has defined love as chastising. One often feels that love just means lovey-dovey sense of Christian science. But we see, she defines under the synonymous term love, that it is actually that which sometimes the Christ wounds to heal. So, just continuing with the build-up gradually of the logic. So St. John is showing, and I'll go over what his vision was in just a moment, the need to change our perception from a material standpoint through the mental to the spiritual. And as we saw with the Gospel of St. John, how is that perception changed? Let's see what St. John said. If we then look to Revelation, we see the pith of his vision in Revelation 21 and 22. He says in Revelation 21:1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." Revelation 21:2. In Revelation 21:10, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." In 21:16, "And the city lieth foursquare." Here we begin to hear, if we knew already, the tonality of the system, that the first few verses that we just read comes under the category of divine science. We will see that he's saying, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw a new city coming down from God out of heaven." That is not then the science level, which is the highest level of vision that Mrs. Eddy shows us symbolically. But he saw a city coming down from God out of heaven. That would be divine science. "And that city lieth foursquare." He saw that whole realm of divine science. Again, the self-operating, self-regulating, error-preventing, error-correcting laws of life, truth, and love in operation as an operational sense of oneness, as a closed system of oneness governing the universe. "The city lieth foursquare." Those laws of life, one, truth, two, love, three, and divine principle, love, four. That's the city that lieth foursquare. The eternal operation of the word of life, Christ's truth, Christianity is love, and the science of divine principle love. It's a state of consciousness. And then he said in 21, 17, 18, and 19, "And he measured the wall thereof, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones." We will see with the tonality of the system that 17, 18, and 19 gives us absolute Christian science. That standpoint where those laws of life, truth, and love are operating as a calculus of ideas. You see, he says specifically, "and measured." You begin to get how those laws gives us the infinite calculus of ideas, the infinite details within the city. Absolute Christian science. And then, what's the impact of the vision that we gain through having a consciousness of divine science or those laws of life, truth, and love, which on absolute Christian science act as the ideas of life, truth, and love in a calculus? The impact is Christian science, healing, where the calculus of ideas resolve the calculus of false reasoning and matter. In 22:1-2, he says, "And he showed me a pure river of the water of life. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation." All this goes on to heal. That the education that John saw, that new city, that new Jerusalem, if we're educated in that city that lieth foursquare, in the laws of life, truth, and love, and divine principle love, and their ideas, that is here to have a new system of reference, and if we go out from that new system of reference, that heals. That gives us another way of looking at reality. In showing then that it's this point of altering our perception, that what needs to be changed is not a material universe. The universe is fine. It's spiritual, according to spiritual teachings. What needs to be changed is, I've said over again, and I'll say it many times, as you'll see in spiritual education, the scientific way is to repeat it again and again, in many different ways, the same thing. So what we need to see is we have to have a change of perception, the way we look at reality. And Mrs. Eddy then had the same experience as St. John. Her perception of the world was radically changed in 1866 when she discovered those laws of God. For she says in 1866 in Science and Health on page 108, when apparently near the confines of mortal existence, standing already within the shadow of Death Valley, I learned these truths in divine science, that all real being is in God, the divine mind, and that life, truth, and love are all powerful and ever-present. Now here we've seen that truth. Now here we get her change. She says, I saw then that the opposite of truth, called error, sin, sickness, disease, death, is the false testimony of false material sense, of mind in matter, that this false sense evolves in belief, a subjective state of mortal mind, which this same so-called mind names matter, thereby shutting out the true sense of spirit. You see, that's just what John says. I've been sitting here looking at this world from all this education of matter, and I saw through a glass darkly, he said. Now I suddenly, through revelation, am looking through a clear glass, and I tell you, I see something differently. And what I see is different than what I've seen before. And Mrs. Eddy says the same thing. All these years, I've been educated in belief to believe a state of mortal mind, which it calls matter, to believe the universe is of the nature of matter, of duality, of friction. All that the second record of creation says. And she says, but in a flash in Revelation in 1866, suddenly I saw, no, that there's another way of looking at the universe when I picked up my Bible and it said in there to somebody who was sick, pick up thy bed and walk. And she could reason, well, how can you at one point be ill and the next minute Jesus say, just pick up thy bed and get out of here, you're fine. How can you go from sickness to health that quickly? And it was done because there are two different ways of perceiving reality. All right, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Let those educated in matter live, drink, and be merry and die. But Jesus says, follow me and I give you eternal life. Right here and now. I'm not talking about life eternal after you die. Mrs. Eddy says we must educate people that they don't have to die. But even in Christian Science, we hear today when somebody is ill, they say, oh, well, principles governing. It must be principles' will. That's baloney. It's not principles' will that man has to die. Jesus proved it. And yet we're so fatalistic, even in the Dorley Kepler work. Oh, well, if it's a self-operating system and only principles operating, oh, well, principle obviously wants so-and-so to go on. No. That's buying into the illusion. That is not Christian Science. Christian Science, as she says, is to educate mortals that they don't have to die. And she says, if you do that, you'll reproduce those who have gone on. We're playing around with a mental universe here. And it's big. It's something, as I was talking to a friend about 20 years ago about what I do, she says, oh, I know what you do. I've seen similar to things like that on Star Trek. And in a way, it's true. I mean, this is talking about other ways of looking at reality. It's not playing around in matter, in doctors and matter. It's not playing around with psychiatrists. Oh, I don't feel well. I'm depressed. Well, the psychiatrist says, let me go back into your world history. Well, your mother was your problem, or your father's your problem, or a combination of both, or this and that's your problem. That's mentalism. This is talking about, there's another realm there called spirit, and Jesus saw it and he walked on the water. He healed the sick. I mean, we have a textbook that in the front of it says, heal the sick. Let's just take a look at it. She says very clearly here, I mean, this is heavy language. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. Now, this isn't like language, and yet she's got it stamped right here on the textbook. It's showing, with an alternate view of reality, that other things can happen. That's why we don't have we aren't talking to the masses, because spiritual education in a higher way of, as Jesus taught it, isn't the everyday education going on now, but it's the education of the future. Now, we're talking about education in the year 2000 onward. That's why we're not interested in going out and preaching Christian Science. The world isn't ready. The world is, just as we'll see this afternoon, making the switch from the physical into the mental. Well, just barely beginning to see that matter isn't reality. That we get sick not because of a physical problem. We get sick because of a mental cause causing the physical problem. That the problem is mental. So if we have a happy outlook, we're going to have a happy experience and a happy body. That's about where the world is today. Be happy. They've even won some nice Grammy Awards on the song Be Happy. That's fine. That's all is mental. That's a step. But then Christian Science goes beyond the mental and goes into the spiritual, you see. And that's what Mrs. Eddy says. I saw that my educated belief was shutting out something. And then she says and goes on and says, my discovery, I discovered this. I didn't think it out. It came to me. Suddenly I saw that erring, mortal, misnamed mind produces all the organism and action of the mortal body. The whole problem is mortal mind and its false beliefs. And when I saw this, it set my thoughts to work in new channels. You can hear it. It's totally different, isn't it? And led up to my demonstration of the proposition that mind is capital all. Capital mind is capital all. And matter is not, as a leading factor in mind science. It's terrific.